gentlemen, your attention, please.
Hello, Chicago.
WGN Radio's Pete McMurray.
Well, well, here we are. I want to congratulate you for being on time.
Ready, BTR 1 and 2. Ready on camera 1 with key.
3.
All right, and
two,
announcement. Get ready.
1.
And cue them. And go.
Here's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
All right, happy Thursday. I'm so upset with myself because I thought yesterday was Thursday, so today I'm a little crabby, and I want to apologize in advance because if people come into the studio, I may punch somebody in the neck. Michael Heidemann is producing the show tonight. We haven't worked together in 17 years. It's good to be back. How you doing, brother?
It's great to see you, Pete. It's been too long.
I kind of have an edge tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice watching the Bears. I can't wait for football because we had a lot of scrubs in and half the guys won't even make the team. But we did watch the kickers. We'll check in with Adam Hogue, who is in the locker room right now, right after 11 o'clock. Adam's very serious about his craft. I'm like, dude, when are you going to be ready? He's like, oh, I don't know. I'll be talking to the players. I go, it's a preseason game. He goes, Pete, this is my job. This is what I get paid for. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I understand. I get it. So after 11, when things are cleared out, we're going to talk to Adam Hogue, who is a fan of Stranger Things.
right here, Pete.
Stranger Things on Netflix. I am on episode 6 of season 3. I haven't watched in a few weeks because
I've got to get back to finish season 1.
You haven't even finished season 1 yet?
No.
Oh, man, you got to get after it.
I have work to do.
You do have work to do. You know the character Dustin, the kid that wears the hat, he's got the lisp.
I think I remember. It's been over a year since I last looked
come
at
on,
it.
Man.
I did.
David.
First 5 or 6 episodes were, and then something else came along, and
see,
I just kind of moved on.
This is our attention span right here, folks. We got to finish things. This
short
is the
attention
problem.
Span theater.
Right. This is it, because there's so many things on Netflix. You ever open up Netflix, and you're like, oh, my God, there's too many choices.
There are some that grab me right away. There's a South Korean version of Designated Survivor.
Oh, South Korean version.
Yes.
Why would you watch that when you can watch the regular Designated Survivor?
Because I already have. I watched all 4 seasons.
What's the difference? It's the same thing, isn't it?
No, it is. There are differences.
Like? Is Kiefer still in the show?
No. But the ABC version got 1 extra season on Netflix, and then it got dumped. Netflix dropped it. It's not coming back. So it's gone for good now.
Well, they just dropped the last season. Yes.
That's it.
Right.
There isn't going to be another one.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
I'm sorry I haven't watched that show. I mean, we had Kiefer on a month ago when he was in town. Kiefer and I are the same height. He probably weighs about 130 pounds. Everybody in Hollywood smokes and is super skinny. I couldn't believe it. Wow. But Stranger Things. Dustin Matarazzo, who plays... I'm sorry, Gaten Matarazzo, who plays Dustin on Stranger Things, will join us at 10:35.
Nice.
Okay, so that'll be fun. And Max Weinberg from the East Street. Oh my God, I almost forgot. Mighty Max is going to join us right after 12 o'clock. He's coming to town. I love live music. I was at Lollapalooza last week. Mike, you were at Lolla, right?
Yes, I was.
Did you see Chance on stage with Death Cab for Cutie?
No, but I was so surprised by that pairing. I'm kind of bummed that I missed it.
No, why were you surprised?
Because Death Cab for Cutie, an early 2000 emo punk pop band mixing up
now,
with
what
Chance
does that
rapper?
Mean? Because I always thought, you know, they were just a rock band, which that's what they sound like.
Yeah, well, they come from this band called the Postal Service. So there was a lot of history behind them. And
I don't understand any of that. I just like their music.
It was weird to see Chance, though, tie up with them, you know, because out of all the bands that were there, you think that he would go for a hip-hop group, and it was one of the saddest singers out there with Ben Gibbard. I mean, he writes very emotional music, and then to see Chance up there,
but they were great.
Yeah.
They were great together. I thought they did a song together. Didn't they do a song together on Chance's new album?
Oh, that must have been the reason.
That's
why.
What everybody was talking about.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I totally missed that.
But my point is, it's just live music, and I love any type of live music, and Max Weinberg's coming to town in 2 weeks. He has a band that he puts together. I swear to God, this is how it is. And if you've ever gone to a show or a bar band where all they do is take requests, it's called Max Weinberg's Jukebox. So they come out, they open up, they play a song, and then people from the audience just scream music, and that's what they do for the next few hours.
That's incredible.
Because Max Weinberg has played with everybody, including Springsteen. And if you've ever been to a Springsteen show, they do shout-outs, and they take requests. And if the drummer knows it, then everybody in the band can pick it up. Does that make sense?
And what late-night TV show was Max Weinberg the band leader for?
Conan O'Brien.
Okay.
Because I remember he took that job in the 90s, and I thought to myself, that's it for the E Street Band.
Nope.
It's never going to happen.
He would always disappear periodically.
he would go on tour.
Yep.
They broke up in 89. He takes the job, and then a few years later, Bruce calls up and says, hey, listen, we're going on tour. And you're right. He just took off. I'm going to ask him about that. Because that's interesting. How do you leave your job for months on end? Because Springsteen would tour for a year and a half. What's the most you've ever taken off, David? A week? 2 weeks at the most? I can't remember the last time I went on a two-week vacation. My honeymoon.
I can't remember the last time I actually had a vacation.
I mean, I can't remember the last time I took over 7 days.
Because there's this irrational fear that if you take off more than 2 weeks...
In media?
You won't be coming back to anything. Or whatever you come back to won't be what you left.
I mean, it's not like a regular job with media.
No, people don't get
that. We are the lowest common denominator. When you look at the entertainment ladder, we are the bottom rung. Actually, when you look at the list, there's a huge list of entertainers, and then there's whale dung, and then there's radio people right underneath it. And the thing is, with radio, you go on vacation... And they'll replace you and not think twice about it. Ah, he's gone. You know what? Let's put in this guy that doesn't have any experience and we'll put him in. That's so true.
Or they will bring your substitute will suddenly have the best week of their lives.
Of course.
Which has also happened.
Yes.
So, yeah, you never know.
Never go on vacation. That's the problem. I can't even remember my original thought. Anyway, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It's Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios at 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios right on time. I love this. This is nice. Straight from the Uber on the air. Have a seat right here, my friend. How are you? What's that? Hold on a second. Are you on mic 3 or mic 4? There you go. How are you? Is that mic 3? Is that working?
I think it is working.
I don't think. Is it?
I don't know.
Oh,
yes,
there it is.
All
yes, there you are.
The magic of radio.
Yes, it's Jeremy Piven. Finally.
Yes,
we did see each other.
I love it, man.
thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to see you.
Man, I literally just got off this the stage at Zany's.
I know you did.
Incredible history there.
So you are playing tomorrow at the Vic Theater. By the way, we have a pair of tickets that we're giving away. The Vic gave us a pair of tickets.
Amazing.
To give away. And I'm
Jewish, so can we just give one away and then maybe I can keep the money? No, just
we
kidding.
Could maybe.
I kid.
Maybe.
I kid.
We can do that. You had the best line this morning on WGN Morning News.
Oh my God, it feels like 11 years ago.
With Dean Richards.
Thank
what did you,
you
say to Dean?
I don't have a clue what
God
I said to Dean.
God bless you, my... Something about Christ? What was
oh,
that?
No, I celebrate you with the power of Christ, even though I'm Jewish, sir. Because the thing is, I was here, and then that was supposed to be there.
Right. And he threw you under the bus.
And then he's just like, you couldn't find us, Jeremy? Really, you're supposed to be in studio. And I was like, my man, I'm just doing that. I'm one man doing the best I can. I mean, you could airlift me in, but whoever scheduled this. So here we are.
Yes.
And I love being here in Chicago.
Thank you for coming in. First of all, you posted a picture of you and your mother on Instagram. How is your mom doing?
Thank you for asking. She's good, man. She's so tough. You know, she started the Piven Theater many, many years ago in Evanston, her and my father. And that's where I grew up in the work and many people that you know. And you know, she's
a Chicago treasure, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
it. Absolutely.
Thank you. She had a little fall and she broke her hip and she's more hip now. I have a lot of dad jokes. I just wanted to let you know right now.
Uh-huh.
No, but she's doing great. She's very, very strong. And I just left her in L.A.
Boys and their moms, you know, and you appreciate it as you get older because you understand now that you're an adult. Right.
I wouldn't go that far, but I do appreciate her. She's incredible. She was. Also, my acting teacher from the time I was 8 years old.
Well, you took her to the Golden Globes, right?
I did.
And did you take her the time? How many did you win? Did you win one Golden Globe and like four Emmys, or what was it?
I wish you worked PR for me. It sounds good. I only won three Emmys.
Three Emmys.
But there were three in a row.
Only three.
Three in a row.
Three in a row.
So did Bryan Cranston and maybe one other person. But who's counting?
Okay.
Me.
Right.
No, there are a lot of people that have won Emmys, and I was incredibly lucky for...
But was your mom there when you won the Golden Globe?
You know what? What's so funny is for the Emmys, she definitely was. The Golden Globes, she was there with me when I lost many times. But the year I won was the year that the writers went on strike. And as soon as I heard they're going on strike, the awards will not be televised, I knew I would win. I knew I would win because no one would know that I won a Golden Globe.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just me. The only people that know I won a Golden Globe is just me and Rosa, my housekeeper.
Oh,
that's
geez.
The only people. But it's okay. I still walk around in my bathrobe taking victory laps.
Oh, that's nice.
Practicing my speech.
That's a bad visual that you just put
nobody,
in my head.
Nobody wins with that.
The first time I was thinking today, the first time that I had you on the radio was back in 99.
Wow.
When you were filming Cupid and I was doing the night. Yeah. I was doing the night show. Look, I've come full circle.
Jillian, my friend back there, was doing hair on Cupid. That's how old we are.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. It's good to see you. How's my hair look tonight? It's terrible. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. I got a bad head of hair.
You know what? She does a fine job. She works at Jillian. Where do you work?
Paul Rader, of course.
Yes, indeed. We're giving up. This is not a paid ad, by the way.
So you walk around with your
Fantasia
person that takes care of your hair.
Yes, indeed. I've known Jillian. She's been a good friend of mine for 116 years.
116 years.
That's how old we are.
It's interesting. When you come back to Chicago, I grew up in Peoria. When I go back to Peoria,
sorry about that.
I always, you know, you drive past your old house, you go see your old friend, you stop by a bar. I stop by Jimmy's Bar that I grew up with.
Yeah.
Where do you go when you come back to Chicago? I'm sure those places.
You know, there are so many places. I was out in the suburbs because I'm from Evanston. I was out there today. I'll go there tomorrow. But just for me, walking around the city in Chicago, there's nothing better. I'll jump on a bike and I'll go along just Lakeshore Drive.
Isn't that the best?
There's nothing better. And this town is incredible. And now that I'm doing stand-up, did you see the transition I did? It's so flawless.
We have so much to talk about.
No, but now
you've been doing this forever.
I
thought this was like a thing you do for a few months when you came and did Laugh Factory and a few more shows. You've been doing it for over a year.
I've been doing it for 2 years, and I've probably done 400 straight shows, and I'm just not stopping. And tonight, getting up on stage there and just doing my thing and preparing for the Vic tomorrow night, that's what it's all about. And, I got an hour set, and I can't wait to unleash it on the people. And I think we're going to give away some tickets.
Yes, we're going to give away some tickets. By the way, how do you write your material? Because I've opened for some comedians at charity events, and... You freak out. I don't know if you had to get past it, but you freak out when you're telling a joke and people aren't laughing. And you just keep going and you got to tell it in story mode. You're telling a story.
Yeah.
That's what you have to keep telling yourself.
Well, it's interesting because there is that moment you just described where you're doing the bit and they're not necessarily going for it and you got to stay in it and you got to just stay in it and see if you can win them over. And it's terrifying and I love it. And the bits come from, you know, you could be on a rant with your friends. Isn't it insane? We were just talking about the fact that you literally can't vape on the streets in San Francisco, but you can smoke crack and you can, you know, do heroin and just lose your mind. People are squatting on the streets, but no vaping. You know what I mean? Like, and just like, there's a great idea there. Just like things that the insanity of being around today, how crazy life is. And you just kind of explore and heighten these bits. I was trying it on stage tonight and I'm just, you got to just, it just doesn't stop. And I love it because when I was doing Entourage, you know, the writing was so perfect and I had to get it letter perfect every time. And it was my honor. But I always wanted to kind of add stuff, finesse stuff, and it really wasn't my place. And so I would, you know, for me right now as a stand-up, you just get that freedom. You're the writer, so you live and die by your own writing. And
right.
It's terrifying, but it's also insanely gratifying.
Well, you grew up on stage, so you have to love being on stage and knowing at any second you could bomb. It's the excitement.
Yeah. Yeah. And also you get it's that selfishly is that immediate gratification of knowing that something worked that you thought was funny and you're alone and suddenly a group of people find it funny. And there's nothing like that feeling. The first time I think one of the reasons I progress as fast as I have are two reasons. Number one, I grew up in Chicago with these incredible audiences that will show up you know, whether it's a 99 seat house or the Goodman Theater, they'll show up.
We will show up for anything.
But it's incredible.
In the dead of winter.
Yeah,
we'll
which is I gotta say, I've been across the country and no other city's doing it like Chicago. And that's why you have all these people that have come from Chicago that are, you know, pretty solid actors, because we've just logged the hours, you know. So, and then also, you know, I was lucky enough to grow up on stage at the Piven Theater and do my thing and be supported, you know, by my parents, who just let us know that you're enough. Just when you're on stage and you're improvising or you're playing a role, you are enough.
God,
and it gives you a lot of confidence for life as well.
That's wonderful.
Because I think people are a little bit lost right now and they don't feel like they're enough.
You think?
And they feel like they have to do some things that are not decent, and you don't have to do that.
Right.
Because you can own the fact that you can do it in this life.
That's so true.
I sound like a terrible TED Talk, and I apologize.
Well, it's okay. I'm going to take a break. I'm keeping you for a half hour. You can't leave.
I'm going to be here till a million o'clock, but I do want to go to Mastro's and eat some flesh.
Okay, don't worry. Do we go straight to news? Okay, let's go straight to news.
We don't need news, do we? Well, it's going to be terrible.
We have sponsors.
I know, but it's going
to
be terrible.
It's not that bad, even though the Bears lost, but we'll get to that.
I told you to turn it off.
I did turn it off. If you want a Beverly Hills mansion and you want a country club membership and you want 9 weeks a year and a Tuscan villa, then I'm going to need to take a call when it comes in at noon on a Wednesday.
Now back to Pete and Jane on 720 WGN.
Wait, there's no Jane here. Jeremy Piven is in studio. By the way, Jane couldn't make it tonight. I know,
Jane, you ignorant. No, won't go there.
Jeremy Piven appearing tomorrow night at the Vic Theater. We'll have tickets to give away in just a second.
Yes.
Why? Stand up. Why are you letting this continue after 2 years?
You know, I got to tell you, because...
Because I love your acting. That's why I'm saying that.
Thank you so much. You know what? I knew that I was a better comic than what I was currently doing. And for me, it's just kind of fascinating that, you know, I grew up on the stage here in Chicago and crawled up with the Piven Theater at eight years old. So I've got, you know, many, many decades on the stage. And so I know what it feels like to be in my groove. And that's why, you know, when they called me from Entourage, you know, and I won the Fresh Face of the Year award at 37. And when I accepted my award, I said, there's nothing fresh about my face.
The Fresh Face Award?
Yeah.
Who gives that out?
The Fresh Face people,
You'll
I
take
guess.
Anything at this point.
Oh, my God.
Fresh Face, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, I'll go to an opening of a 7-Eleven to win anything. You know, no, but, you know, the reason why, you know, I kept in the game for so long is because I knew I had something to contribute. And so when I was doing stand-up for the first year, I thought, okay, I'm progressing, but I haven't gotten to the place where I feel like, you know, as present as I do when I'm an actor. And now, like, I just got off stage and I was like, man, that felt really good. I let my hands go. I let it fly. And now I'm finally hitting a stride. So now, see, I'm very hard on myself. And like, I don't wear mediocrity well. So, you know, the first year I was doing my thing, I'm getting some laughs, but I want to get to the point where I'm as good as I know I can be. And that just takes time. So that I've just been staying in the pocket.
I saw you at Laugh Factory, and you are such a great storyteller.
Thank you.
And I think that's the key.
I've progressed a lot since then.
Really?
Oh, my God.
I'm going, that's fantastic. But it's just, it's a gift to be able to look at the world and tell a story about it and make it funny. Because you think of Seinfeld, you think of Sebastian Maniscalco, and, you know.
Sebastian's a legend and just an inspiration to me. Because he's an example of... A guy, the only reason Sebastian blew up is because he's brilliant and he works his ass off.
He works.
Oh, my God. You know what I mean? And a guy like that, I looked at him and I went, well, he's really funny and he's physical. And like, man, I'm physical. Not that I wouldn't equate anything I do with him, but it just was really inspiring to me. He's a Chicago guy, you know, and I've been blown away and inspired by him, you know, and guys like that and a ton of other guys. But, you know, he's from here.
Right.
And, you know, I was just... You know, this is too much information, but I was just in the bathroom at Zany's. I won't tell you what was happening because it's not that interesting.
It's a very small bathroom, the one on Wells.
It's tiny.
Yes, it's tiny.
But I was working out in there. I got to be honest now.
Okay.
And there's pictures of him everywhere in there, and the guy's just been doing it forever. So it's one of those things where you got to stay in the game and do it.
You get so big at Zany's, they move your picture in the bathroom.
That's
right.
How it works? That's what's happening
right
now.
It is.
Yeah. I just want to have my picture in the urinal someday.
Mr. Selfridge, you were very proud of that role.
Yeah.
That you did for, what was it, 3 years?
4 years.
So you go from comedy to, you know, kind of a serious role.
Look, I'm not going to lie to you. That role, I couldn't be more proud of. And PBS is incredible. And PBS is one of those places where it's hard to go from HBO to PBS in the way that, you know, I was used to the machine and getting the word out. And PBS does everything they can, but they don't have any money.
Right.
So, you know, overseas, they call me Mr. Selfridge. And here they yell Ari and smack my back and say, yeah, I'm a douchebag because of you, bro. And so I'm misunderstood here. And, you know, I wish more people would have seen Mr. Selfridge because I was incredibly proud of it. And it's all part of the game.
How does do you like doing episodic television, or did you? I mean, if you could choose one thing to do for the rest of your life, would you do stand up forever?
Ooh, that's a great question. I got to tell you, I'm so just exhilarated by the process of stand up and how challenging it is and satisfying it is when you get it right, and terrified when you get it wrong, and then the comedy gods reward you for staying in there and bombing, and you know. So right now, if I could do stand up and I could do movies and go back and forth, that would be incredible. I'm also 200 years old and I'm still single, so it's not cute. There's nothing cute about
it. No, and your mother hates it.
My mom hates it.
She hates it.
She just wants me to be in love. She's not like a doting Jewish mom, you know. She just wants me to be in love. She was with my father until he passed away, you know, and she knows what it's like. And you know, I'm you know, look, people ask me why I'm still single, and I tell them the truth. I tell them I've been married to my work, and then my work decided to see other people. My work is currently banging the entire cast of the Avengers.
Oh boy,
yeah.
Well, That's rough stuff.
It is rough stuff.
It
but
is.
You know, this is the type of hilarity you will see tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Vic.
312-981-7200. We're going to give away tickets in just a second to see Jeremy Piven. We talk about your mother a lot, but we don't really talk about your dad. I had the chance to talk to him at Piven Family Fundraiser back in Evanston 20 years ago.
Wow.
And your dad is this guy that's just bigger than life, and he's just full of energy.
Yeah.
And he's one of those guys that you want to be around. Talk about your pops for a second.
Yeah, my dad was, if you were around him for a couple of minutes, you got a real sense of who he was. He didn't hold anything back. You know, he had
a very large, booming voice.
He did.
And he was
Burn like, Piven.
Burn Piven. Hey, how are you? He's waving to everyone. He doesn't know anyone, but he's waving to them, taking a victory lap.
He's old school,
man. I'm like,
man.
Dad, do you know these people? No, I'm just saying hello. Hey, how are you? And he would give notes. He's a, you know, great actor, director, and he would give notes even after the show had closed. He's still giving me notes. My dad, the show's over. No, I know, but when you make that entrance, if you could just throw that line, or throw it away, don't hit, throw it, Dad, the show's over, I know, but just if you could, Dad, stop giving me notes. He's somewhere out there giving notes.
Right.
And bless him.
Love the whole court.
Loved it.
Love the attention.
Loved, you know, he just was a performer and an artist, and, you know, he found out he had cancer, and the next thing he did was, literally the next thing he did was teach his Monday night class because he wanted to do it.
Wow. That's fantastic. Jeremy Piven in studio with us. The Piven Theater Workshop back in the day, Joan, John, and Cusack all went through it?
Yes, all the Cusacks.
And did Aidan Quinn? Who am I missing?
Aidan Quinn did it. Lily Taylor.
Lily Taylor.
Barack Obama. Santa Claus.
Wait
no.
a second.
No, wait, hold on.
Yes. Yeah.
No, but I remember actually stumping for Barack and Michelle here in town and introducing them, and my mom and I had spent time with them afterwards. And I have to tell you, they're actually better than you would think they are.
Right.
They're so cool and down to earth in person.
And
it's crazy.
Funny.
He's really funny and really sharp. But by the way, he doesn't even get the credit he deserves for being funny, because, you know, Jon Favreau, not the writer, director, actor Jon Favreau, but his speechwriter, you know, is brilliant and funny as hell and would write a lot of his stuff. But Barack had to deliver, and he always did. Always. He crushed it.
He used to come on the radio with me when he was a senator of Illinois.
Yeah.
It's like, this guy's, you know, he's entertaining.
Mm.
And then suddenly he runs for president and poof, haven't had him on since.
Yeah, imagine that.
Right.
But I just remember how cool Michelle was, and my mom grabbed Michelle and just said, "Michelle, don't forget about the arts. Don't." And my mom, wow, like, it was amazing. It was just an incredible moment. She's like, "Stop! Don't cut the funds to the arts."
I mean, think about that. The access. Yeah. Think about the people that you've met. A Chicago kid that's been, you know, this huge star in Hollywood. You met, you know, the president and the first lady.
Yeah,
I mean, you got a pretty good life.
I say that to my dog Bubba all the time, my little French bulldog.
I was gonna bring
up Bubba.
Bubba,
and then he farts on me and runs away.
Your new love is Bubba.
Yes.
Bubba,
you know,
no one loves their dog more than you and me and everybody listening.
I have to stop taking pictures with Bubba. It's embarrassing.
We all love our pooches, man.
Yeah.
Where does Bubba sleep?
Bubba would sleep with me, but he snores like a silverback ape, so I give him his own room, you know?
How does he stay in there? You lock him in?
You know what? He's got a pretty cool room, man. He lives a dream. I'm with him 24/7, and I get on my hands and knees when I see him, and a buddy of mine, this guy Kurt Fox, who's a comic, looked at me, and he goes, "Bro, you have to stop. You're trying too hard with your dog. You gotta bring it, but gotta play hard to get with him." I'm like, I don't want to play hard to get with my dog. I know it's L.A., but I don't want to play hard to get with my dog. I can't. He's like, "Play games with him." I was like, "No, I'm not going to do that." Mm-mm. My dog, but imagine his point of view for a second. Everywhere he goes, people, "Oh my God, honey, come here. You are so handsome," right? So my dog is George Clooney, basically, and Brad Pitt, but he doesn't contribute anything to the world, so he's like Justin Bieber. So he's kind of like, I got a boy band. So he does, he doesn't contribute anything, but he just is always being celebrated.
Yes, I mean,
God bless Bubba.
Think about if you were Bubba, just compliments all day long.
Right.
Yeah, and people are feeding you, and you have a beautiful room to sleep in.
He gets more compliments before noon than I've gotten in my entire life.
It's crazy. I took my dog before I came into work, Wrigley. I took him for a walk. Three people stopped. "Oh, you have such a great dog." It's like, everybody loves this dog. Yeah. What about me? Give me some love. I just want somebody to love me.
Oh my God, this is kind of tragic, brother. You're having a moment.
I really am.
But it's good that you have this outlet. You get to come and vent every night. You got a great job, you have to admit.
I do.
You have
a great
job. I
mean, look at this view, 18th floor here. I mean, look, you got Navy Pier right behind me.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, they just turned off the Ferris wheel.
Who
knew they turned it off at 10:45?
Listen, you got a great job, but this, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm actually taking your job over. So this is your last night working here.
You got it. I wouldn't doubt that.
No,
sometimes.
Never. Are you kidding, man? You're living the dream.
How long are you in Chicago?
I'm going to be here, do my show at the Vic tomorrow night, 7:30. And then Saturday, I'm going to hang out and just run around town. And then Sunday, I'm going to go to Cleveland to do shows. Hello, Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Cleveland.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to take one last break. We're going to give away these tickets.
Okay.
To caller number 10, 312-981-7200. But you have to be able to go tomorrow night to the Vic Theater. Okay.
You have to be 18 years old.
And, you have to be 18.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I love the Vic. Did you go back in the day, Bruin View?
Love it. I'm so honored to be there. It's just insane.
I mean, so many memories. Yeah, and incredible. I think, you know, you make out with girls there on Sheffield.
Yeah.
"Hey, I'll see you later. Can you give me your phone number?" I mean, back in the day, they had to write the phone number down.
Yes,
indeed. People just grab their phones now and put the number in. How easy is that? We had it tough.
We really did, but you have no excuse now for anything. With you have everything you need at your fingertips,
right?
And I'm such I with technology, everything breaks around me, so it's kind of a nightmare. Yeah, I mean everything just like things turn into Spanish.
Oh, that's not good.
Yes,
you don't want that.
Nobody wins.
312-981-7200. Caller number 10, Jeremy Piven in studio. We're going to talk Bears next.
I love it. I love it.
Yes, former linebacker.
This is the longest segment in the history of radio.
It is.
I don't remember a time when I wasn't on this show.
It's 720 WGN. WGN. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studios. He's a former linebacker at Evanston High School. Jeremy Piven is in studio with us.
Oh, my God. That's the greatest intro I've ever had.
Yes, there it is.
Get your heart out, Brian Urlacher.
Oh, boy. Don't even say that. By the way, have you seen the hair lacquer billboards all over Chicago?
You know what's so funny about that? As a follically challenged man my entire life, right? And I'll do anything to keep my hair, anything.
Yes.
You know, here's Brian. He's been literally the best football player on every field he's ever stepped on in his entire life.
Right.
He just made it into the Hall of Fame faster than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He's been an All-Pro every single year.
Yep.
He's got the vertical of Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are like, "Hey, bro, nice plugs." I mean, are you kidding me?
He has hair now.
But why, you know, it's just so funny. It's like, give the guy a break. It's, you know, listen, for whatever reason, men are not allowed to lose their hair. Like people say about LeBron, the greatest comeback you ever did, bro, was not on the court. It was your hairline. It's like, it's LeBron James. You know what I mean?
Leave him alone. He's one of the greatest basketball players ever
in the history of basketball.
Right. Definitely. Who's your favorite Chicago Bear of all time?
Walter Payton, sweetness.
Walter Payton, who's number two?
Well, I mean, my God, I mean, there's so many of them. I mean, you know, you've got guys like Brian Urlacher that are so incredible. But now you've got guys like, you know, Khalil Mack and the entire current Bears roster, which is, they're just so hungry, and they were one double doink away from taking it all.
Oh, and, the double doink.
You know what I mean? I don't even hate to bring that up. But my God, and by the way, you know, Khalil Mack, you know, like literally they put pads on him and threw him in a game. He hadn't played since he was 14 years old, and he was just destroying people. You know what I mean?
That first game,
I think he
last
ripped
year.
His hamstring. He didn't care. He just like put a new hamstring on him, stapled it in, and just kept playing. And now the guy's going to have a full camp. Oh, my God. I would not want to line up against that guy.
Oh.
And he does yoga. He's flexible.
He does yoga?
Khalil Mack does yoga.
Oh,
of course
my
he does.
Gosh. I spent.
He levitates.
About a month ago, I spent about 45 minutes. Switch with Mitch Trubisky.
Mm.
Talk about a guy with high character that loves his family and loves the city and talks about his team and practice.
Oh, that's amazing.
I am so pumped for this season because this is his third year, and it takes 3 years for a quarterback to learn the NFL.
And you know, it's so funny, when they all went in on him, I just thought he's a great athlete, but he had played 13 games.
Barely played in college.
I mean, and he's getting better every snap.
Right, but we have high expectations.
Will the Bears give us tickets this year because we love them so much? Because our love is real. Anyone out there work for the Bears? I just want to be a part of it.
I'm a season ticket holder.
Okay.
Section 251, right above the time clock in the north end zone.
There you go.
Yeah, if you need tickets, call me.
Let's do it. But I mean,
can't do it. You're out. I have seven brothers, man. I'm sorry. I do have a guy on the inside.
Okay, good.
Yes. I know somebody.
I'd like to be on the field until they kick all the civilians off. And
but
then,
you were late tonight. You were supposed to be here at 10.
Okay.
And I had Doug Plank was ready to talk to you.
Oh, my God.
He signed a book and mailed it to me last week.
Look at that.
He wanted to send you his book.
Thank you.
Because he heard that you were such a big fan.
I'm a huge fan, but no one hit harder than Doug Plank.
It's crazy.
We can still hear the cracks.
Right, and he's still in shape. He looks fantastic.
Of course he is.
And talk about a guy that, you know, he's had so many surgeries. I think he shrank like an inch and a half because of the neck and back surgery.
That's what I tell people about me, but I'm vertically challenged.
The Bears, what's the record this year?
I would say that they are 14-2.
14-2
in the
what
in the regular season?
You're kidding,
don't you think?
I think they go 10-6. But
who do they lose to?
I have to look at the schedule, but they're not going to repeat what they did last year. They won 12 games, right? 12-4.
Right?
Is that right?
And Khalil Mack had literally not even seen the playbook. He didn't know what was happening. He was still ripping people apart.
Right.
Mitch Trubisky, you know, is a much better version of himself.
Mm-hmm.
The team is coming together on every level. Who's going to beat him? The St. Louis Sandwiches? No, they're going to destroy. They're going to destroy everyone.
Are you going to come back for a game?
I'm going to be kicking this year. Are you kidding?
Oh, boy.
I'm gonna watch the game with Robbie Gould.
Robbie.
We miss Robbie.
He is, you know.
What, we learned a lesson, guys.
We did.
Okay. Let's not.
He
turn
missed
our...
like four field goals. The number one scorer in Chicago Bear history.
Right.
This is a team that's been around for 100 years. Misses four field goals. We'll let him go. And then he just keeps kicking. He just keeps going, man. And he's making a boatload of money.
That's all right. God bless you, Robbie. And he's a Chicago guy. Still lives out here.
He does.
Thank you for having me tonight for the 14 hours we were on the air. Tell the kids.
Hold on. We got to give away these tickets to Judy, and then you can go to dinner.
Judy, you're going to come see my show at the Vic Theater tomorrow night. It's Jeremy Piven.
Hi.
How are you, Judy?
Good. I'm great. I'm so excited.
That's fantastic.
You're one of my favorites. Entourage is one of my favorite shows.
Judy, thank you.
And tomorrow's my day off, and I can't wait.
Oh, Judy, listen, you are a woman of taste.
Yeah.
And I celebrate you. We're gonna have some fun. I'm gonna make you laugh, I hope. And if I don't, then you let me know, because we're gonna take some pictures afterwards and we're gonna hang out.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to this.
You're going
to
bring Judy backstage after the show?
Yeah. Well, Judy, what we're going to do is we're doing a little meet and greet, so we'll probably do it on the stage if that's okay.
So you talk to people after your show?
Yeah.
Really?
Take pictures, hang out.
Wow.
Yeah, I just played a douchebag on television. Do you understand that I'm not actually... That wasn't a documentary. I'm a stage actor from Evanston.
Yes, you're right.
That's it, man. I'm just like everybody else, except worse.
I know, but it's a lot to talk to a house of a few thousand people. No, Judy, hold on. We'll grab your info, okay? We'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, I'm great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Judy.
Well, that's nice. Look at that.
Judy. By the way, we're not letting Judy in. Let's be honest.
Cut it out. What are you doing?
Kidding.
Oh, man.
No, that's just comedy.
Yes,
it's called comedy. It's called a bait and switch.
By the way, I always have to mention Billy Deck, who introduced us years ago.
Yes.
How is Billy doing? I've texted him. You know what? With texting, I feel like I never talk to people anymore. You just send him a quick text. That's the thing. No one talks on the phone anymore.
No one talks on the phone. If they cold call you, it's like the craziest thing ever. You just run from your phone and start crying like grandmother. I can't pick up a phone. Remember back in the day, you got excited when the phone rang? Now you see it, you're like, what kind of an idiot would call me? You know?
I don't know this number. I'm not picking it up. I got a 217 Buffalo Grove number. I'm like, I'm not picking that up before the show.
I'm in the Buffalo Witness Protection
Grove.
Program.
I don't know anybody from Buffalo Grove.
Oh, my God.
Why are they calling my cell phone?
Billy Deck's killing the game. He just opened a Sunda in, like, Nashville. He's just crushing
it. You call it Sunda or Sunda? I call it Sunda.
I don't know what I'm doing. I put the accent on the wrong syllable.
I'm going to keep you around till 1 a.m.
No, I got to go, man. Let me go.
Jeremy Piven, follow him on Instagram. You'll see his dog, Bubba. It's great to see
Jeremy Piven just on Instagram with a blue check with just me and pictures of Bubba. It's horrifying.
I need to get the blue check. How do I get the blue check on Insta?
You know what? That's a great question. Maybe if you made something of your life, sir, you could have a blue check. You know, I can't say who said this, but James Caan said to me once, I said, Jimmy, you never remember me. He said, why don't you do something memorable and then I'll remember you. I thought it was a brilliant line. Yeah. Then I kicked him in the balls.
Oh, and then you run away from Sonny Corleone. I like it. Jeremy Pivens, great to see you, brother. Take care.
Good to see you. Thank you, man.
It's 720 WGN. The McMurrays voted after season two of Stranger Things that Dustin was our favorite character. We're on episode 6 of season 3. Please do not spoil it for me. Dustin is played by Gaten Matarazzo. Who knew he had a band? Who knew he had a band with his brother and sister? And guess what? They're coming to town at Subterranean this Saturday. The band is called Work in Progress. And joining us on the phone is Sabrina Matarazzo, Carmen Matarazzo, and, of course, Dustin Gaten Matarazzo. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Now, Gaten...
We're actually joined by the rest of our band as well.
How many band members do we have on the phone?
There's seven.
Who is the parent driving across the United States with this band?
This is Gaten. We've got our dad.
Okay.
AJ and Matt's dad.
Okay.
And Chad's dad is here as well.
Okay. So we have the dads that are on the trip. I like that.
Yeah, dad's on the trip right now.
Well, let me talk to Sabrina because I watched her on YouTube. Sabrina, you can sing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
How do you like touring with your two brothers?
I actually enjoyed a lot more than I thought I was going to. I thought it would be a lot of fighting. And a lot of different smells, and it's not so much fighting, so that's good.
Are you the only girl that's in the car at the time?
Yes, actually, because my dad's fiance is in the other car with him. She saved herself.
Oh boy, that's got to be rough stuff. Now. Who is the oldest, Sabrina, or who's the oldest in the family?
Chad is actually the oldest.
That would be me.
Chad. And Chad, you're also in the band. What do you play?
I am. I play rhythm guitar with occasional solos here and there, and I do some backup vocals.
Okay, let me go back to Gaten. So, Gaten, how many Matarazzos? Am I pronouncing your last name correctly? Is it Matarazzo? Okay.
Yeah.
Matarazzo. How many Matarazzos are in the band?
There are three of us. You got me, you got Sabrina, and you got Carmen, our drummer.
Okay, got it. Carmen. Do you? I have seven brothers, and I'm not kidding when I say this. I was in a fist fight every day for 18 years growing up.
Oh, wow.
You got to be punching your brother every once in a while.
Hey,
It's never punching, but we do have arguments here and there. But it never gets physical, you know?
It's always like gotten to the point. This is gay. We've always gotten like the point of almost punching each other.
Okay.
And I actually took a swing at him once, and we were in the car, and then we just stopped and hugged each other.
We stopped and hugged each other. That never happened at the McMurray household, let me tell you.
We've never gotten that far.
Now, Gayton, you talk about you have. Let me see if I can pronounce this correctly. You have cleidocranial dysplasia. And you talked about that on the show. You tweet about it. You try to raise money for this. Explain to people what exactly it is.
Cleidocranial dysplasia is a genetic bone disorder. I was born with it. It was a spontaneous case for me. And it affects the growth of most notably the collarbones, the skull, the jaw, and also the joints as well, especially the knees. And the thing we're trying to raise money for is so people can actually afford medical treatment, specifically mostly with their teeth. A lot of complications, like baby teeth don't come out on their own, adult teeth don't come in on their own, and most people with the condition have what are called supernumeraries,
okay,
which are extra teeth in their gums that need to be extracted. And it's all very, very expensive. So that's what we're trying to help people out with. Very painful, too. We're trying to help people out with that.
Do you have joint problems, too? Does that come with it? Is it like arthritis?
No, nothing like arthritis, but I've knocked knees myself. A lot of people have problems with that as well.
Carmen, did you protect your brother growing up for people that made fun of him because of his teeth?
Well, I guess a lot of people.
I feel like that was more my job.
Now, wait a second. Sabrina, you were protecting him.
Sometimes.
Okay, I like that. That's
Tom
great.
Tom definitely had to share in that too, though.
Who decided to start the band? Now, was this band started before Stranger Things, or Gayton got a platform and you decided to go out on the road?
Chad, do you want to talk?
Yeah, I'll go for it. It kind of started pretty naturally. Myself and Griffin, the other guitarist, we had a band beforehand, and we had a gig that we needed to do, and the other guys couldn't do it. So long story short, we got Carmen and our bassist, Matt, to fill in for the gig, and it worked out so well. We had a bunch of fun. We soon asked Gayton and Sabrina to join us, and we formed our original six-piece, and not too far after, we added AJ, and now we have all seven of us with two lead singers, two guitarists, a bassist, a drummer, and a keyboard player.
I mean, you guys have a big band. It's like the Doobie Brothers back in the day. I mean, nobody's making any money here. What's happening? We got to up the, we got to play some bigger venues so we can take home some more cash.
Yeah, hopefully.
One day.
We're talking with the band Work in Progress. Now, Mike, you play from time to time. Well, you play every Saturday night. Do you have a question for the band?
Yes, I do. Guys, I'm a huge fan of the group and everything like that. And you're touring through the cities that like left and right all over the place. What has been, your fuel to get on the road? Like, is there certain things you need to take on the road, whether it be like Cheez-Its or maybe some coffee, espresso?
I feel like we all have very different snacks that we need to bring with us. My go-to is definitely Yoo-Hoo's.
What is a Yoo-Hoo? I don't even know what that is. What's a Yoo-Hoo, Sabrina?
Do we know what a Yoo-Hoo is?
I don't know what a Yoo-Hoo is.
Okay, so what? It's like
chocolate milk. It's not milk.
It's a chocolate drink.
Like chocolate water.
Exactly.
It's chocolate.
It tastes better than it sounds.
Got it. That little drink. And Sabrina, let me ask you, who's your favorite character on Stranger Things?
My favorite character is probably Hopper, only because
all the way.
He doesn't take anything from any of the other characters.
Hopper, okay. Carmen, since Gayton's your brother, do you know how to spell Demigorgon?
I haven't even seen the show.
What? You haven't even watched it?
He hasn't seen the show.
You're kidding.
I've only watched the show once because I kind of have to.
Now, who was that? It was who just said that?
That was Gabe.
Wait a second, Gayton, you're on the show Stranger Things. Exactly. What do you mean you never watched it?
That's why I don't want to watch it. I hate watching myself.
Because you've had enough. Can you believe how popular this show is? Everywhere you go, you know the people are going to show up at Subterranean on Saturday with, like, pictures and T-shirts and the whole deal.
Yeah, well, it's exciting. I'm glad that it did take off the way it did. I mean, I get to do the stuff that I want to do. I mean, I got my charity, and now because of it, I get to be touring with the band, which is awesome.
Right. That's awesome. Well, guys, I really appreciate you coming on this late. Where are you right now? Are you in Chicago or are you still in Detroit?
We're in Detroit right now.
Oh, man. It's 12:15 in Detroit. So you have a gig tonight on Friday night.
Tomorrow.
And then you come to... Yeah, it is. It's tonight. And then you come to Subterranean on Saturday. I love it. The band is called Work in Progress. Thank you so much for coming on, guys. And continued
Thanks for having us.
And Gayton, continued success with Stranger Things. Don't ruin season 3 for me, okay?
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care. All right, Work in Progress. That is Gayton Matarazzo and his siblings. They'll be at Subterranean on Saturday. Can we take it into a commercial with the theme? Yeah. It's nice. I feel like I'm in the Upside Down right now. I am Upside Down. That's why we're going to go into commercials. I like it. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Also, our text line if you have a question about credit cards, things like that. Mortgages. David Hochberg is here from Team Hochberg. And Mike, you have a brother. And I have many siblings. Mm-hmm. Could you go on the road with a sibling?
That's so funny you mentioned that, because I was just out to dinner with my brother today, tonight with my mom and my dad.
It's just
dad.
The two of you.
It was just,
And you and your brother are very close.
We are very close. Yeah. We are. But tonight it was so funny, because now in our 30s, we're still at the dinner table, like, poking at each other, and my dad needed to be like, if you guys don't stop this right now.
Right.
We can't even do a few hours together without poking at each other. So.
Did you guys live together?
Growing up, yeah, but not,
I mean, after college?
No, we did not.
Because when I first moved to Chicago, I lived with my brother Dave and my brother Greg. So it was the three of us. And thank God I was working nights at the time. So they were working during the day. So they'd come home and then I'd leave. It was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But on Saturdays. And
did you have bunk beds?
Oh, yeah. We all slept in one room. We had a studio. How about that? David Hochberg's here from Team Hochberg.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Did you see the Bear game tonight?
No. I was busy doing loans.
There was no reason to watch the Bear
game.
There
is no reason.
Except for the kickers. And by the way, the reason that I wanted to see it is because the first extra point, the crowd roared like we won the Super Bowl when he made the extra point.
And then he missed a 48-yard field goal.
Well, there was one. Fry made a 43, and Panero,
who won't be on the team in 3 weeks.
Well, he was the favorite, and now who knows?
Yeah, it's not looking too good. Robbie Gould looks really good right now, doesn't he, in San Francisco?
Unfortunately.
Yes.
Yes, he's completely out.
He was hoping to come back.
End of summer. A lot of people took trips this summer and put it on their credit cards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And are still taking trips there and they're getting ready to leave. And then they're going to come back and load up their kids who start school out in the burbs in 2 weeks. I think the city kids start in a week.
My son starts a week from Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the city kids start in a week. The suburban kids start in 2 weeks. The college kids are getting packed up, ready to go.
Right.
So what does this mean? Lots of trips to Walmart, Target, and the malls, and loading up and putting on 28% credit cards, which is, you know, fact of life. That's what people do. But the good news is interest rates are down, home values are up, and we're doing a ton of cash out refinances. Cashed out $1.2 million out of people's homes, $1.25, I think the final number was, and saved people close to $30,000 in cash flow.
Was it this week or last week they dropped interest rates?
Last week they dropped interest rates.
So what does that mean for the normal person?
That means for the normal person, car loans will be cheaper, credit card payments should be cheaper, home equity line of credit payments will be cheaper on a monthly basis, but couple that with, I just saw gas prices have gone up. In the gas stations that I pass on the way in every single morning, it's now $3.16 a gallon.
Yeah.
Off of Dundee Road, fill up in Lake County, it's $2.67 or $2.78, depending upon where you're going. The challenge that people are having, Pete, is that people are fully employed, right? Unemployment's at all-time lows. Home values are up. Interest rates are down because there's uncertainty in the marketplace that this economy is going to continue on the pace that it's been going. And rates are so low, people we got 35 calls today. I haven't advertised all week because I usually take the second and third week of August off because of vacations and holiday. We got 35 calls today of people, and I haven't advertised all week, people asking about interest rates, buying homes. People are like, hey, I could buy more home now because the rates are half a point lower than they were 3 months ago when I called you. So it's a good, it's good time for me. It's good time for Pete and your listeners to redo their debt.
We talk about the debt. We talk about buying homes. How about a refi?
Yeah.
Because I refied with you probably.
We need to talk.
Five times. We need to do it again.
We do. No, in all seriousness, we need to talk because. Right. I'll give you a perfect example. There are listeners right now that are trapped in 6, 7, 8% loans. Okay. Listen to this story. Guy's listening up north right now. He's in Wisconsin. Co-signed for his dad's loan. Dad passed away. Unexpectedly, the guy was in good health. He just passed away.
Oh, jeez.
Property went into foreclosure. Whammo, goes on the guy's credit report. Guy's out of commission for 3 years. Okay? He's loaded up over $100,000 worth of debt.
Oh, no.
Because he can't get
any. You mean out of commission where he couldn't work? He couldn't do anything?
No, out of commission where you can't get access to funds because you have a big dead dog on your.
Oh, my gosh. And he ran up $100,000?
He couldn't get financing for it. He's got a ton of equity. He lives in a $450,000 home.
29%?
Yeah. So finally.
So what's his interest rate per month?
We're saving him $4,000. Okay, I mean, by the time we get done recalibrating everything.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's the deal. He's got two properties. He was helping his old man out. He was trying to do the right thing, take care of his dad.
Yeah.
Problem is, like I said, his dad passed away. He couldn't handle both properties, went into foreclosure. So now he's trapped. Long story short, we're completely refinancing his primary residence. We're going to pull out like $130,000 out of his primary residence, wipe out all his debt, pay off $60,000, $70,000 worth of credit card debt.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got a 401k loan.
He probably cried right in front of you.
He's like, what am I missing here? I'm like.
I understand this because I've been through it. Right. And I've talked about it on the air, and we'll get to that in a second.
People don't believe it. But, right. But, you know, we saved him a little over three, and then we're refinancing his second home that he wasn't able to do.
Right.
Saving him another $750 up there.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so all in all, when you get done calculating everything,
right,
it's a math equation, folks.
Yep.
We're saving over 4 G's a month.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. David Hochberg is here from Team Hochberg. What's your website? People can find you.
Yeah, it's very simple. It's 56david.com. Why? Because our phone number is 855-56-DAVID. So
okay.
Genius that I am, marketing savant. We're like, because we need something simple. Let's go with 56david.com.
Right.
Because if this thing doesn't work out at home site, I'm done branding other companies' phone numbers. I'm going to pick it up and pop it into another Lego board, and we're going to keep hammering. I learned my lesson, Pete. 19 years in the mortgage business today, you know, or in August, like August 15th or something like that. So it's been 19 years,
yeah.
So I finally learned something. After investing millions of dollars in advertising, branding other people's phone numbers,
right.
I'm branding my
own.
You
brand your own.
That's right.
Pete at PeteMcMurray.com. That's
Hello?
My email.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
You got to put your name in there.
Hello?
But I always associate the numbers in the 50s with linebackers. Wilbur Marshall was 58.
Lawrence Taylor?
Lawrence Taylor was 56.
Well, 56David.com.
Right.
And there's nothing to do with it. We just look for sequential numbers. And
right.
The first sequential numbers that we came to was that I could do David with was 5'6". I'm like, sold. Let's
right.
go. Move on to something else.
Can we talk about when someone calls you out of the blue?
Yeah.
And your first reaction is, and you, first of all, you don't judge.
No.
You just talk about the situation. All right, this is just a pile of blank.
Right.
Okay, and this
pile
is
of clay.
This is what we need to do. We want to get you here, and this is how we're going to do it. So you give the beginning where they are now,
yeah.
which is rock bottom, and you're going to take them to where they should be.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't believe that I could get them there. I'll tell you
right.
what the biggest shock is. that I actually answer my phone. They're like, this is David Hochberg? I go, yes. They're like, no way. I'm like, yes. I went to the bathroom and I'm still disappointed. Yes, it's still David Hochberg.
Right.
It's me.
Right.
And then after they get over the initial shock, they're like, wow. I'm like, it's really not that big of a deal.
Nobody answers their own phone anymore.
I do it as many times, as much as I can.
Right.
A lot of times I'm on the phone and I can get 10 phone calls and I can't take the 10 while I'm helping a guy.
But you're returning phone calls.
Either
Yes.
Or my team. I have a team of now 10. I think we're going to be bringing on a couple more.
Team Hochberg.
Team Hochberg, official loan officers. We hired three more. One rookie and one trainee and two season pros. One starting Monday, another one starting a week from Monday. So we're bringing on extra staff to handle all the calls. Very excited about that.
My visual is every morning, Team Hochberg gets together in a huddle.
Yes.
You do a pep talk.
Yes.
And then you put your hands in and you break, and then everybody goes about their business and takes care of loans around the city of Chicago.
We do the Japanese auto worker thing. We get in a line, we do calisthenics together.
Do you?
Yeah, we do.
Can you squat?
I could do squats. I could do lunges.
Okay.
I could do a lot of things. I could do bendovers, walkovers, handstands, somersaults.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to build pyramids.
We're getting some great text messages. I'm going to take a break. We're going to check bottom of the hour news, and we'll answer some of these questions. I mean, like, can you refi at 4%? Save it. See, this is a teaser right here. You have a question for David. This is your chance. You have a credit card question, mortgage question. I'm going to talk to him during commercials about refiing again. Definitely so. 312-981-7200. Remember, it's absolutely free when you call in tonight. And, of course, when you call him or you go to 56david.com, it's always free.
It's always free. Free consultation.
But right now, it's immediate gratification. You're in your car driving home.
Yeah, bring it on.
Talk to the king himself from Team Hochberg. Yeah, baby.
Bring it.
It's 720 WGN. All right. Michael Heidemann is our producer tonight. Mike, we had a friend of the show that sent up food tonight, knowing that we've had guests.
Yes, yes. The friendly people over at Broken English Taco Pub sent over some great, great, delicious tacos, elotes, some of the greatest pita bread you're ever going to have. They have three locations, actually, in the Loop, Old Town, and Lincoln Park, which is my favorite location. You can catch them all over. Great happy hours. And thank you to the chef over there who sent over some great tacos.
Victor came by earlier. He runs the one right downtown.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
I love that guy.
He's a cool dude. David Hochberg is here.
Hi.
How you feeling? We're going to check news, and then we'll go through some of these text messages.
Yeah, can I make a comment? My wife is listening. I only smelt the food in the bags. I did not eat anything bags.
Broken English, man. It's
I will
good.
Polish it off. Dude, I can't. I'm
by the way, before we go into news, since your wife is listening, she's a hot babe.
Oh, smoke.
I sent you a text after I saw you at the Hawks convention.
Yeah.
I go, I forgot how hot your wife is.
Yeah. I
always talk about my wife.
I know.
Yeah, your wife's
my
hot.
My wife is a smoke show.
She's a blue chip. What happened? You married up.
I have no idea. I am just thankful that I get home and she's still there. I'm very thankful. She is an absolute smoke show. You look at me and then you look at her,
okay,
then you look back at me.
She's not believing it.
I'm telling you.
Yes.
She is.
She is.
And she is genuinely beautifully inside as well.
Well, she's one of those people that's so easy to talk to.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Which I like that.
Yes.
I mean, you talk a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's very adaptable.
She is.
Yeah.
All right. Time for news. More with David Hochberg coming up. 312-981-7200. Our phone line. If you don't want to talk on the air, we have text messages right now. I know a lot of people don't want their voice on the air when they talk about finances, which is fine. So we'll answer the text. David Hochberg is here from Team Hochberg. We're going to get to your finances in just a second. Were you at the Bear game tonight?
No, I was at Nano's on Randolph having chicken.
Okay.
Calling people about refinancing their loans.
Well, there was a guy that was at the Bear game. It is Adam Hogue. Are you our Bears insider? Is that how I refer to you, or is our Bears reporter? What are you?
I believe that's what they call me. I know David Hochberg doesn't call me that, though. No.
We have a million podcasts, by the way, on WGNradio.com. The number one podcast that I listen to and everyone listens to is Adam Hogue's talking about the Bears. Yeah.
I appreciate that. We just got done recording our post-game episode, so it'll be up on WGNradio.com sometime in the overnight hours. We'll get it up there.
Are you going to do the 10 things to watch like you did last year that I would call you after every time you posted something, or email you saying this is awesome. Are you going to continue to do that?
Yeah, I got my 10 Bears things up right now. You can read it. Well, it's not from tonight, but it's from a couple days ago. But yeah, it's up there every week for you, really, David. Yeah,
well, I will tell you, I've been a big Adam Hoge fan for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and I do Adam's loans, and we're friends.
You
off the air.
You do everybody's loans here at GN. You know,
but I could tell you, when Adam came over from the Score,
yeah.
He started doing really going diving deep into the Bears, which we didn't have here at WGN.
Right.
And he did the 10 things to watch or whatever, you know, the top 10 things.
We all want a list. It's easy.
The detail that Adam has and the connection and the insight and the access that he has is right up there with anybody in this town. If you're a Bears fan, I'm telling you, it's easy, quick reading. Because I'm not really that great of a reader, but I like something quick, speedy, and it's outstanding. So I strongly recommend all the listeners.
Are
to
you
check
his
it out.
Agent?
I'm telling
Are you,
you
sure?
I love his stuff. It's mm-hmm. great stuff. Not yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, I might need to think about that. Thank
wow.
you,
Adam, I watched the first half of the game, and then I drove in, and what I saw in the first half was when Fry got up to kick that extra point, the crowd burst out like the Bears won the Super Bowl.
I laughed really hard in the press box. That was funny. Mm-hmm. It really was. It was like a Bronx cheer. But it was even more than that, because yes. it wasn't really directed at him. You know, it was like the sarcasm was still directed more at Cody Parkey, who
of
obviously
course.
Wasn't in the building.
Right.
But they were also actually cheering that a kick went through the upright. So mm-hmm. it was a funny moment. And then there was the opposite when Eddie Pinheiro missed a 48-yard field goal, and then there was actual booing going on. But I'm enjoying how the fans are reacting to all these kicks. I mean, they're hanging on every single one.
Right.
Their hearts were ripped out. I don't blame them for it. And I got to say, though, the Bears still got a ways to go before they figure this thing out.
Well, who won tonight? Was it Fry?
Yeah, Fry wins because he hits a 43-yarder, which that number sounds significant to you. It should, because uh-huh. that's the exact distance in that exact same end zone going north that
yep.
Cody Parkey double-doinked it last year. So that was kind of just...
Oh, the double-doink.
Yeah, it was ironic that he had a kick exactly from there, but he drilled it. And Ron Rivera, the Panthers head coach, iced him. And after the game, mm-hmm. both coaches are asked about that. Nagy claims there was not some kind of handshake agreement on that, but Rivera said he did it on his own to help the Bears because he knew they were having a kicking competition, so he was trying to help the Bears figure it out. So credit to Chico there. That's great.
I love that Chico said that, so Bears fans love him anymore, but I know he's lying. That is a complete lie. Absolutely. So they still love him. David Montgomery, running back out of Iowa, third-round pick, high expectations for him. He did not disappoint tonight.
He didn't, and I'll tell you a story post-game, because Matt Nagy loves this kid so much. He's gushing about him in the press conference. He stops himself because he realizes he's kind of going a little bit overboard for one preseason game, and he starts to catch himself, and, you know, I don't want to overblow this. You know, it's not like I want to put him in there with the top running backs in this, and then he stopped and he paused. And he looked over at Jared Payton, who was in the room covering the game tonight for WGN television, and he just sort of looked at him and chuckled. And then he continued to sentence, and he said, "In this organization," you know, he was kind of making fun of himself for going a little bit too far with how much he was talking about David Montgomery, because yeah. obviously he's got a ways to go. Maybe let's play one regular season game before we start talking about Walter Payton, right? So that was a funny moment post-game. The point, though, is the Bears really love this kid, and everything they've said about him since they've drafted him has – I mean, we've seen it in the last 3 weeks
yep.
since camp started.
I like him.
He's a hard worker. He's smart. He runs with the tenacity that you saw it on the field tonight, and the way he stopped and cut – he had nothing in front of him on that touchdown run. There was yep. nothing there. And he stopped, and he just cut to the left and outran the defense to the end zone. It was very impressive.
Right. I said that exact thing to my wife. I go, "Oh, my gosh, look at that cut." She's like, "What are you talking yeah. about?" And you need to watch the highlights because, yes, you're absolutely right. And before you go, the statues were unveiled tonight?
Oh, no, those are going to be on September 3rd. Walter Payton and George Halas.
Okay.
September 3rd, 2 days before the opener.
Got it.
Part of the festivities that will all be going on that week as the Bears and Packers kick off the season.
I can't wait for September 5th. Brother, thank you so much. Now you can go to bed. We appreciate you staying up.
All right, not quite, guys, but I appreciate it.
It
was a good night for the Bears. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you. That is Adam Hoge. You can check out his podcast. Seriously, he is the number one podcast on WGNRadio.com.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, I'm going to take care of some business, and we'll talk finances coming up. I can only have you until midnight. We have Max Weinberg calling in.
Okay, well, you could tell Max to call in at 11:50, at 12:15. Tell Max we got finances. That's fine. Bring it up.
312-981-7200.
On the piano, Professor Roy Bittan. On the guitar, Mr. Steve Van Zandt. On the bass, Mr. Gary W. Teller. On the drums, the mighty Max Weinberg.
He's one of the greatest drummers in rock and roll. He's the heart and soul of the East Street Band behind Bruce Springsteen. He'll be in town with his band, Max Weinberg's Jukebox, on Friday, August 23rd at City Winery. For tickets, go to citywinery.com/Chicago. We'd like to welcome back to the show, Mighty Max Weinberg. How are you, sir?
Dude, I'm fantastic, and it's always good to talk to you. Hello to all my friends in Chicago.
Are you excited to come back? I know you're just killing time before the big, big tour, right? Before the bat phone rings and Bruce calls?
Well, I always play. I'm always playing. And with the Jukebox, I do it 6 to 8 times a month. You know, naturally, I love playing Chicago. Back in the days we played Northwestern when the gym floor was dirt. And this concept of the Jukebox, where I play audience requests of basically my favorite songs from the 60s and 70s, actually started in Chicago at Space in Evanston about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago. We've done about 160 shows since then. I'm having a ball doing it. And well, as far as any future plans, nothing has really been set. So I always stay kind of loose.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, it is, of course, my ultimate pleasure to play in the E Street Band for, if you can believe it, it's been 45 years. And that's always a thrill for me. But, you know, the thing with being a musician, as I know you know, Pete, is you got to keep playing. And we all do that in the E Street Band. Most of us do that. We keep playing. And particularly as you get a little older, you've got to even play more. But you got to keep the chops up. So that's what I do.
Well, when you did Conan for all those years, did you like doing TV because it was a steady check? You went to the same place every day. You weren't on the road, but then Bruce called, and you had to do both.
Well, actually, I didn't have to do both, but I chose to do both, and the good folks at NBC TV allowed me to do both, which is what it came down to. They had what they called the Weinberg Clause, which actually some other late-night band leaders invoked from time to time, and it never quite worked for them, because the Weinberg Clause, as applied to people working for NBC at the time, was if Bruce Springsteen calls you to play drums, you can go do that, but anything else you can't do. And it worked. I did both jobs for about 10 years. And in the 17 years, I was at the late night program and then the short-lived Tonight Show. And out of 17 years, I think I was gone 6 in total.
I want to get back to the, you said you were on for 17 years and you were gone for a total of 6 years because you were touring and you had to take some time off.
Well, yeah, basically, as a matter of fact, NBC, which at the time was owned by General Electric, my friends over there, they encouraged me to do it, and it worked out really well.
That's great.
And I sort of had, both feet firmly planted in TV and both feet firmly planted in rock and roll with Bruce and the E Street Band. So, yes, it's true. I have 4 legs with 4 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out. Everybody was happy at the end of the day. And, during that period, I was on TV. We took a week off. In fact, I took almost the whole band, the horn section, to Tampa when we played at the Super Bowl. So, during this show, this year, I talk about these experiences because some of the songs, will prompt a memory, and I'll just spontaneously talk. So it's not a concert. It's really very up close with me and my band. It's a four-piece band, two guitars, bass, and drums, which is, right, you know, in my view, the classic rock outfit. And we cover everything from Beatles, Stones, Bruce, all the English groups that came out in the 60s, some Beach Boys, some Crosby, Stills, and Nash. My guys sing like birds. And particularly after you've had a couple of adult beverages, as people can at City Winery.
Well, of course. Yes, that's what you have to do. Now, did you get the request a song thing? Did you get it from The Tonight Show back in the day? Or I know you do that in concert when you go on tour with Bruce. Where did it come from?
Well, actually, my best friend and manager, who was a Chicago guy, Mark Stein, came up with the idea at Sprint.
What? I know Mark.
Yeah, that's
Mark
true.
Came up with this idea.
Everybody in Chicago knows Mark.
Of
Everybody
course.
Knows Mark. Mark is Mr. Chicago, and if you go to Chicago, he's the man. And even when you're not in Chicago, if you're anywhere in the world, for me, he is the man. But I'll tell you how it happened. I always like sitting in with bands, and it could be at a club, could be at a wedding, a bar mitzvah, and someone says, play Midnight Hour, play Knock on Wood, the stuff that I grew up with. I'm happy to do it. I just love to actually sit down and play the drums. And Mark had the idea in April of 17 at Space. We were going to play a set of this stuff. And he said, you know, why don't you play a couple songs and then just throw it out to the crowd and see what they want to hear. And the guys in the band are so adept. And on drums, Bruce has often said, when we do these non-original tunes, people will hold up signs. He says, well, as long as Max and I know it, you know, we can get through it and everybody else can fake it.
Yep.
Up in New Jersey, you learn how to do that pretty well. And the audience went nuts at Space that night in 2017. And a sort of a concept was born, and it became Max Weinberg's Jukebox, because a jukebox, for people who remember,
right,
jukeboxes, you put your nickel in, now it's of course $5,
mm-hmm,
and you pick the song you want to hear, and that's what we do. People just call them out.
I love that. Max, I'm going to have you hold on for a second. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk a little bit more with Max Weinberg coming up. It's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN. We're talking with Mighty Max Weinberg. Max Weinberg's Jukebox will be in town on Friday, August 23rd at City Winery. For tickets, go to citywinery.com/Chicago. Of course, Max, the drummer in Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band. Max, I want to ask you, I remember back in the day when you guys used to record at the Hit Factory, the Power Station, all those recording studios in New York. I've always read that Bruce is a perfectionist. Born in the USA, you guys recorded songs over and over. When you look back, is there a time where you remember where you recorded a song over and over and over and it just never ended?
You know, I've read that phrase attributed to him, and I never thought that. I never thought he was a perfectionist. I always thought he was just someone who was always, to this day, striving for excellence.
Okay.
And patient, and not doing, you know, not releasing anything or saying it's done until it's really done. He used to always refer to that old wine ad for Paul Masson, no wine until it's time. And
right.
And he once said to me, Max, you know why they call it a record in the days when they called them records?
Right.
And he quickly answered his own question. They call it a record because it lasts forever. It's a record of what you did and where you were at that point in your musical career. And it's a good thing to remember, whether it's a CD or streaming or anything else. Put out your best stuff. So, you know, we also were learning to this at the same time how to work the studio, and how the realization at the end of really grabbing that concept was, it's really no different than playing live. You just have to be in control and play with finesse. And
right.
It took a while to get that. He once said the hardest thing in the world is to write a good 3-minute rock song. You know, he's an expert at it. Yeah, I've read that. In fact, some of the, I guess that's more, I wouldn't say it's myth, but it's really the sort of working to get it as close as you can to the way you hear it in your head. I once had a conversation, in fact, it's in my book, The Big Beat. I've had more than one conversation, but there's one particular time talking with Ringo about recording with the Beatles, who, you know, obviously specialized in 3-minute rock and pop songs.
Right.
And his favorite part of the whole process before they started basic tracking, when they all played together, was, you know, you just, as he says, you struggle to get to the place you want to be. And hopefully you break through. And if your percentage is reasonable, you do break through quite often. Sure. Sometimes you don't. So with the E Street Band, it's the most unique musical situation I've ever been in, where you have to be on your toes, you have to keep your ears open, your eyes on Bruce, because you never know what's going to... The only thing you know for sure is that something's going to happen, but you don't know what it is. It's great training for doing all the other things that I've done in my professional life.
I got to tell you, I'm so excited to see you on Friday, August 23rd at City Winery, and I'm so excited to see the E Street Band back together in 2020. Is it official yet, or you haven't got the official call or the anything? Because you're touring with your band until the end of the year, right?
Yeah, actually, I've got big dates booked into 2020. No, it's not official. So let's hope. Listen, nothing would please me more, but there's no schedule. And I know Bruce has this incredible film coming out.
Right.
That is this Western Stars album, which I love, this record. He's got a lot of surprises. I mean, he's always writing. He's got so much material. And he's always working on it, you know, in a variety of different ways.
Right.
So in terms of any future plans, I'm always ready to go. And I have, what, again, in my own documents and contracts, I have, there's a thing called force majeure in contracts, which is an act of God, so which prevents you from playing.
Okay.
And it's very standard. It's in everything from real estate to even buying a car or anything.
Right, right.
In my contracts, I have a force majeure that says any act of God or Bruce Springsteen. So it covers all situations. So while I'm, as I said, while I have my own very active personal professional life, I'm very fleet on my feet. And except for the time when I was, you know, we had a little scheduling conflict with the Tonight Show, and my son Jay was able to just slot in and play. I think he did 20 or something shows with Bruce and the E Street Band, and was fantastic on that tour.
Right.
I believe actually, I think soon this week he's playing, or next week he's playing right up in Chicago, near Chicago, with he's in Slipknot, the heavy metal band, and they have a new record coming out, which is unbelievable.
Oh my God, and that's right. I forgot all about
and,
that. You're right. They will
I
be.
I would
in
not
town.
Only encourage people to come see me play in a little small place. Go to see Slipknot, because it's the if you like energetic, powerful experiences, there's nothing like going to a Slipknot show.
Oh boy, that is loud too. Max, you are the best.
Yeah.
August 23rd, City Winery. Go to citywinery.com/Chicago. Thanks for coming on tonight, and we'll see you soon.
All right, Pete, thanks. And I'll see all you Chicagoans down at that City Winery on the 23rd. Take care.
Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye.
The 720 WGN. Thanks again to Max Weinberg. Did I go too fangirl on him? Max, I love you so much. I feel like I went a little fangirl on him. I hope I didn't. I love Springsteen. Everybody, name a band. Michael, name a band that you've seen over 10 times.
Blink 182.
Blink 182. How many times have you seen
them? I probably have seen them 10 times.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's the lead guy's name? Travis? Is it Travis Barker?
That's the drummer.
Drummer. That's married to Pink. Are they still married?
No, that you're thinking of the BMX bike rider, Carrie Hart.
Oh, okay. Who's Travis married to?
He was married to, a playmate at one time. And okay. And now, I don't know, I think he's...
He's got a lot of tats on his body.
He's got too many tats. I heard that he's actually tatting his tats at the moment.
This show is the worst show on radio right now, I'm going to tell you. I love Springsteen. I've seen Bruce and the E Street Band easily 55 times.
Wow.
Easily. And each show is unique in its own way. Seriously.
Was there a moment when you're like, maybe I'm seeing them a little too much?
You know, just when I thought that. The River Tour. Mm-hmm. If people are fans of Springsteen, I'm a huge fan, okay? But The River is a very dark album, and he played it start to finish at the United Center, and it's a double album set. And, you know, when you're hitting those B-sides, and it's like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
This has got to turn the corner. I mean, that was a rough concert, I'm not going to lie. But then he came back and played 2 years later, which was about 3 or 4 years ago. It was the best concert I think I've ever seen. It was so good at the United Center. He was so on that night. Some nights you just don't know.
What album did he play that night that was the
he
best?
He just
night?
Did the hits. Okay. That was it. Yeah.
Man, because everyone, you know, has such a great connection to Bruce Springsteen. And what is it about him that makes people want to go 150 times?
I don't know. That's a great question, because you're there and you're just filled with energy and he makes you feel good. I mean, you and I always text each other about Tony Robbins. You
know,
we send each other motivational quotes and try to pump each other up.
Yeah.
When you go see Tony Robbins, it's one of those guys that can capture a crowd. And I've seen Tony live at the United Center where he talks to you for 12 hours on stage.
Jeez.
And it just goes by. You're thinking, oh, 12 hours, I never last. Well, you don't even think about it because they take you somewhere else. That's how Springsteen is. He'll play for 3.5-4 hours. I mean, which is crazy.
Jeez.
And you're there and it's like, oh my God, I don't want this to end. It's so good. It's just fun and the energy and everybody's happy. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you went somewhere where everybody's happy? Because we all go around, we're all angry now. Mm-hmm. We're angry about politics. We're angry about traffic. We're angry about hauling our kids different places.
I blame cell phones.
Cell phones, we're all looking down at our phones. I did something today that I never do. I had to be at the station today at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in the elevator at 11:15. And I don't like staring at my phone in the elevator because I think it's rude, even though people don't really talk. And I got on with a girl and we were both just staring at our phones. And we go down 18 floors and the doors open and we both just stand there. It's like, we're zombies.
Mm-hmm.
We're friggin' zombies now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it's good to break out of the norm and go to a Springsteen concert every once in a while. Have you ever had a connection or like have you ever spoken to Springsteen himself?
Never.
Really?
Springsteen and Michael Jordan are on my list.
Oh, yes.
I've met Jordan when he opened his restaurant on Michigan Avenue because Jane Manzouras used to work with him and Jane knows Jordan. So we walk over and Michael says hello to Jane. Jane introduces me to Michael and he's like, how you doing? I'm Michael. I go, I know who you are. I just want to thank you for the 90s.
Yeah, greatest basketball player of all time. I think I remember you.
Yeah, but they just don't do interviews. I mean, maybe 60 minutes. Michael doesn't do anything. Springsteen will do 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. You never had a meet and greet or something like that or never got pulled onto the stage?
Never, ever met him. Oh. I've met everybody in the band. I've interviewed everybody in the band except Springsteen.
He's your white whale.
He really is. And I was going to go out to Broadway because he had that show on Broadway and I just never went. Yeah. But maybe it's better that I don't meet him.
Yeah. No, that's very true.
No, come on.
You can't meet your heroes. That's the way it is.
Have you ever met someone that you've looked up to and you were disappointed?
Oh, absolutely.
Who?
What
comes to mind?
Well, right from the get-go, I don't want to upset any listeners, but I did meet my ultimate comedy hero, Steve Martin, and he let me down.
I heard he's not a very nice man.
He was, you know, he wasn't nice as far as like, because I wanted his autograph so bad, and I was like, going to give it to my dad. I had this whole plan, and he's like, if I give you my autograph, you're just going to sell it on eBay. And I'm sitting there with like
He's so cynical.
The printouts that I had from like work that day. And I was like, oh, that hurt.
You're kidding.
Yeah. But then and then that was before the show. So I had to sit the entire length of the show stewing in madness. And I'm just like, all I kept thinking
was Martin and Steve Martin and Martin Short?
No, it was the Steep Canyon Rangers, his bluegrass band.
Oh, how horrible was that? Listen to a guy play the banjo.
He was having the time of his life.
Oh, I would have stabbed myself in the eye with a fork. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and the entire time I'm just like, I'm going to get your autograph no matter what it takes, Steve. I need to do this. I have to get this. So then it became this big, long thing. And I finally went back there. And I gave him the thing because everyone was waiting for him after the show. I handed it to him. And he said the same thing to me. He said, you're going to sell it on eBay. I'm like, do I look like I'm an eBay salesman over here?
Did you say this is for my father?
Yes.
Please.
I did. I said, this is for my father. And then he signed it, and then there's like this classic comedy sketch that he does where he rides a turtle, and he's known as Turtle Boy. And I said, thank you, Turtle Boy.
What?
It's just,
I've never heard of Turtle Boy.
I,
And I thought I knew all his bits.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to look up Turtle Boy. It's a good one.
No, I'm good.
But that was the one. That was the one person. I mean, you've met countless celebrities. So,
well, Martin Short, who I've interviewed a few times, he is so funny. I've never met him. I've only talked to him on the phone, but very engaging, hilarious, doing impressions. I loved him.
Oh, he's one of the best people there is. I that's one person that I would love to sit down and grab a dinner with or
God,
something.
God, I'm trying to think if there's somebody that I've been disappointed with that I've met. I don't know. I'll have to think about that one.
Okay.
Because you just kind of, you know, forget about those things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got to brush them off. And the thing is, I actually do still love Steve Martin. Anything that he's in, I still watch.
Not
and
watching the banjo bluegrass piece of garbage. Are you kidding me? How boring was that? Please tell me it was under 90 minutes.
No, it wasn't. It was over 90 minutes. And the thing is, there was like one joke throughout the entire thing, too.
Oh, no.
It was
hard. Oh, God, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's good at the banjo, though.
Yeah.
It was like, there was no joy had that night.
No, that's a rough one. Wow. Steve Martin. Okay, remind me to cross that off my list. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios until 1. Then Nick takes over. Our text line, we were talking about Steve Martin, 412 area code. Steve Martin has no talent. Go after Steve Cochran's autograph.
Ooh, that one's twice as hard to get, actually, surprisingly.
I've never seen Cochran give an autograph. Does he give those out?
Lots of selfies, no autographs, though. I've never seen him give an autograph either.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. I posted an article this week on Facebook. More people have tattoo regret was the title. 3 in 10 adults have tattoos. 25% have tattoo regret. And one of the people that responded on Facebook was our own Vic Vaughn.
And I regret it. No.
You have how many tats? One,
no,
two?
No, just one.
Just one. And do you have a story behind the tat? Everybody has a story.
It's definitely a regret. I don't like it. I got it.
You don't like it?
Nah. No, I think, you know, with the tattoo removal, I may go that route, or I may just have it redone by someone more on a professional level. This was a home job. I got it done in my home. The guy was brought over to my house from a buddy of mine who's a big Harley rider, and he knows this guy, right? And the guy is a reformed gangbanger. He used to give tattoos for the Latin Kings.
Oh boy!
And so I thought it was an interesting story to tell. I was like, right. You know what? When you're done with his back,
oh my gosh!
So now I have one that goes from the top of my shoulder all the way past my elbow. So.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'll think about repairing.
That's not a sleeve tat. Is that a bicep tat?
I don't know what you call it. It's not exactly a full sleeve because it doesn't wrap all the way around my arm, but it does.
Well, what is it?
Don't worry about that. We don't need to talk about that.
Is it a snake?
I'm not telling you
an
what
animal?
It is, and I'm never going to show it, so just don't go
That's
there.
That's it? If you need a laser guy, I got a guy.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need one.
Okay.
I'm seriously, every time I go in the neighborhoods, I'm always, you know, every time I see a tattoo shop, I always peek in and see, you know, if they have the talent to fix this. I did show it to a bartender once, and after she talked me into it, and I said, it's really bad, and I showed her, and she said, yeah, that looks like you got it at spring break in Florida.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
You got to talk to a professional tattoo artist to see if they can fix it, and if you're not satisfied with what they could do, then you talk to somebody that can laser.
Yeah, yeah.
And we could work that deal where you do commercials on the air, Vic. Come on, you're on the radio.
That's a great idea.
Right. Yeah, you got a family. You got bills to pay.
I can talk to you about that. That's a great idea.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then, if I can make that deal, then I will publicize the picture of the old one.
So you have tattoo regret.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised that only, what did you say?
25%.
Right, but only 3 out of 10 adults have tattoos. That's
3 in 10 adults have tats.
I think that's low, but...
Well, what is 3 out of 10? That's
30%.
Yeah, okay, you know. Yeah, thank you. I know it's a little late doing math. It's 30%.
But, yeah, and 24% of those, or 25% of those, regret it. I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's ask Michael. I don't have a tat. Michael, do you have a tat?
Maybe.
What is this? You guys, this is radio. You got to give up information.
Just the bald eagle across my back, I suppose.
Oh, no, you don't.
No, I'm squeaky clean.
So you don't have a tattoo?
No tattoos.
Okay.
I do have my ears pierced, which a lot of people don't know.
What?
That was, yeah. That was the most on the edge thing I think I've done my whole life.
Vic, you have a pierced ear.
I do, actually, but it's from back in the day when you and I were piercing the left one.
Right. You know? I have a left piercing, too, but I did it for like a month. And
you
I'm
do?
Like, yeah, I do.
Is it still usable?
This true story, drunk in New York, it was 1 a.m. Not kidding. I was with my buddy Peoria Joe. We're going to get our ears pierced. And I couldn't believe it.
That's crazy.
I wake up the next morning, it's like a bad movie. It's like, what's going on here?
See, I got a story, too. Mine, this is another home job. I was in the cafeteria.
What?
I was in the cafeteria of my high school.
No!
And a buddy of mine came in. He was on my basketball team. He comes in and says, look, you can pierce your ear with just one of these. He's got a little pin. And he just, boom, right through his ear. He had like four holes. He just figured it out. That he could do this. And I said, well, do mine. And so he popped it in. And later that day, I went and bought an earring.
Oh, no. You go to Claire's? Everybody get the studs from Claire's?
Yeah, right. Something like
that. You got to clean that out. That thing will get infected.
I still have you still have the right to hold the scar, but
it doesn't go away.
I haven't put anything in it in decades, but
I always look at people's ears. It's interesting that I didn't look at you two.
That's funny.
Wow. Because there's a lot of people, some people in the sales department, you could tell that they've had their ear pierced.
That's dicey
backgrounds. That you actually look at that thing?
I do. I'm a weird
thing.
Dude.
That's funny. Now I'm going to be looking.
Yeah. I mean, what do you guys notice when you see people? Do you look for things like that?
Any Latin Kings tattoos, I guess.
I always think
homemade piercings in the cafeteria.
Well, I was gonna say I always look at the handshake, but you know, nowadays you rarely even get a handshake nowadays. I don't know if it's germs or what, but people usually do the fist bump or just nod.
I hate the fist pump in a formal setting is wrong. Yeah, I don't like it.
It should be a handshake.
I don't like the fish handshake. And I don't like the handshake where the person grabs your hand and they do like a half handshake.
That's the worst.
The dainty, like princess handshake.
I don't like that.
Man.
Yeah.
Unsettling.
It kind of scares me a little bit. Do you ever do this? This is the worst thing in the professional setting is when they're going for the fist pump and you're going for the high five, and then it just becomes like a fist into the hand.
Yes. And then it just snowballs because then you close your fist to do the and they open theirs for the high five.
It's an awkward moment.
I know.
It is. I've said this before. When I was in college, I worked at a dry cleaner, so I noticed people's clothes right away. And I look at their shoes, and then I looked at the length of their pants.
Oh, man, that is hilarious.
I'm checking you out. I'm sorry. It's a gift and a curse at the same time. I can't help it.
Yeah.
It happens. But 3 in 10 adults, and everybody has a tattoo story. 312-981-7200. Have you ever been prompted to get a tattoo, and you were there, and you're like, no? Michael, I could see that happening to you.
Yeah, I've been in that situation.
I've never been inside a tattoo parlor. Is that what they call them?
Yeah.
A tattoo parlor? Okay. And I've never really thought about a tattoo. I got too much hair on my body. You really can't see it anyway. Yeah.
You never thought about it? Like there's never been a dream tattoo that you've wanted at one point in your life?
No. Not really.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't dislike tattoos. I mean, there's some really cool ones out there.
Yeah, it's so permanent, though, and it's like I feel like the next day, and everyone always says this, but the next day I'll regret it, and then I'll be like, I'm stuck now.
There are two women here that I bet you know you don't know have a tattoo, and they're not on the programming side.
Really?
Yes.
All right, this is radio, so spill it.
I can't say because I don't think they'd like to hear their names on the radio.
No.
But there are a lot of people that have tats that people don't know about.
It's very secretive. And it's funny when you're hanging out with your friends or like you're going on a first date and then all of a sudden that's one of the questions that everyone always asks. Like, hey, do you have any tattoos? Do you have any hidden tattoos? And most of the time you don't. But then there's always that one. And I remember I dated this one girl and she's like, do you have any tattoos? I'm like, I don't. But do you? And she's like, yeah, I do. And she's like, I needed to get it fixed, much in the vein of like Vic's tattoo. But she got it fixed because I guess somebody did it at her house and it was supposed to be a bird and it was just like a blob that she turned into like a bigger blob, so it just turned into like a feathery just mess of blue on her arm. And I'm like, oh,
on her arm?
Yeah, I'm like, you shouldn't have shown me that.
Why are people doing tattoos at their house? I don't understand that. I don't get it. There's so many great tattoo parlors in Chicago. Mm-hmm. That's what you need to walk into if you're serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would you ever get your wife's name tattooed on you or anything like that?
I mean, why? Where am I going to put it? I mean, we've been together long enough. 18 years.
Forehead.
Forehead. I know a guy that has meat on his knuckles on one hand and loaf on his knuckles on the other.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Meatloaf.
That's awesome.
But he also has, and I'm not kidding, probably 40 tattoos on his body. He's one of those guys.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Was he a fan of Meatloaf, like the food or the artist?
You know what? That never came up. I should ask him that.
That'd be the first question I would
ask. He's a great writer. He's written a few books. I think he came up on the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what's his name?
Mike McPadden.
Okay.
I need to ask Mike that question. I'm going to send him a text.
Good old Mike Meatloaf McPadden.
Why Meatloaf? Are you a fan of the food or are you a fan of the artist, Meatloaf? I don't know how that works.
Maybe his ringtone is like Paradise by the Dashboard Light or something like that.
3 and 10. Do you have any regrets about anything? I know people regret the tattoo. But when you say, I mean, do you have any regrets about anything in your life?
On a daily basis, nearly everything.
I know that's a loaded question, and I know, Vic, you don't even want to get close to this one. But we all have regrets. Okay, you don't have to name the regret, but when I say regret, two things come to my mind right away. And one, I'll tell you one. It's when I broke up with a girl years ago, like in 1995. But I still remember exactly where we were, and she was just crushed. Because I really liked her, and I just was too immature, and I wanted to hang out with my buddies, and I'll never forget that moment at her house, and I could just still see it to this day. And I have regret about that. I could have handled that better.
And that girl's name's Cindy Crawford.
No, I wish. That wouldn't have broke up. But when you talk about regret, we keep beating ourselves up. That was, 25 years ago. Still beating ourselves up. But there's another thing when I mention regret that I won't talk about on the air, but I think about it all the time. How do you get past that next step of not beating yourself up and moving on? That's tough. You got to remind yourself every day. And that was a decision that I made at the time, right or wrong, it's gone. But we seem to go back there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, this is like a therapy session.
I like it. Because it's like, but I always
you
look
guys,
at it.
I guess my point is, you guys have those moments.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. But the thing is, I've read so many self-help books now, and like so many, I've bought into the positive thinking model so much that I think whatever regret I would have, it was for leading me to another reason in my life or another path that I should take in my life. So,
right.
So I try to find the silver lining of that. Like, oh, if I didn't do this, but that's because this came to be. I remember there was one time. This is a silly regret, but it was. I really wanted to be on the show The Price is Right more than anything in the entire world.
What?
I did.
With Bob Barker or Drew Carey?
With Drew Carey.
Okay.
Well, obviously with Bob Barker would have been amazing. But I didn't get to be on it because there was something that went on where like we didn't fill out the paperwork right. And I was like, oh, I regret not getting on because we didn't give it our all. But then 2 weeks later, I was living in Los Angeles and I got to be on Let's Make a Deal, my other favorite TV show.
With what's his name?
Wayne Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a small thing, but it was like, something was closed and then something else opened. So that was just a small example. Don't make fun of my example.
But I always think The Price is Right is like the poor, or the let's make a deal as the poor man's Price is Right. Because if you watch CBS 2 in the morning, Let's Make a Deal comes on. It's like, yeah, it's fine. They dress up. He's got a few $100. I mean, the Price is Right. You got the Showcase Showdown. You spin the wheel. That's big time.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the costumes, so that's why I wanted to jump on that show. But I know what you're saying. The regret is hard to get over sometimes when you're living your life, because you're like, what path would I take? There's so many other options. It's like the upside down world. You're like, what do I do?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Stranger Things. Yeah, see, you're bringing it all back around to the guests that we had on earlier. I like that. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, 630 area code. I wish I could afford more tattoos. I only have two. I'm a 56-year-old woman. Love it. So there's somebody that loves her tats. Okay. I like it. I'm just not a tattoo guy. I appreciate a killer tattoo. I think it's awesome. Yeah. The Rock has that. I don't even know what it is. That's his native heritage, that huge tattoo on his left shoulder. I mean, he shows that off all the time if you follow him on Instagram. Vic, you've never posted that a picture of the tattoo on Insta. No, I follow Vic on Instagram.
The next day.
Okay. All right. Just checking. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It's 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios talking about tattoos. 3 in 10 adults have tattoos. 25% have tattoo regret. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 2 sleeves, 2 on my hand, adding to it. No regret. I have 4 big ones, and I am still happy with them all. All right. I like that. Permanent reminder of temporary frame of mind. That is a great line. Permanent reminder of temporary frame of mind. Okay. I like it. With a tattoo, you're freezing something in time in that period, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the Bears win the Super Bowl and you get the Super Bowl tattoo on your arm, which some people did here in Chicago. So you're freezing that point in time and always remembering that point on your body. Yeah. I don't know if the tat would look good today, but I don't know. There's people that got Cubs logo tattoos when the Cubs won the World Series.
Mm-hmm. I knew somebody who got a WGN radio tattoo.
No.
Yeah. I met her at a remote with Dean Richards.
What?
And she got the old 1970s, 80s logo of WGN on her wrist.
Please tell me that wasn't her first tattoo. She has multiple.
Yes.
You have multiple, putting a GN logo tattoo is not a big deal.
Well, yeah, of course she has multiple. She has Orion Samuelson on her leg. She has Roy
No,
Leonard
she
on
does
her...
not. Stop it. Stopped. No way.
Yeah, Bob Collins is, he's on her thigh. No, I'm just joking.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Yeah, I love that people went out and got the Cubs tattoos when they won the World Series. Or I remember when the Bears hit the Super Bowl, people were like going out and getting
2007.
Devin Hester. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, that is such a...
And think about it. If you got a tattoo, let's say a number 23 for Devin Hester back then, you have it now and it's like,
it's not so much.
I don't know. Maybe it's time to do a laser treatment.
Well, I can't believe that people get the band tattoos, because you might like Red Hot Chili Peppers when you're 13 years old, but you're not going to like them maybe for the rest of your life.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the barbed wire, like the band that goes around your arm.
Like Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee style?
Well, there's a guy that I see from time to time that was in great shape 20 years ago when he got it around his bicep, and it looks like he hasn't worked out since, and it's drooping. So you may want to rethink that or hit the gym with some dumbbells. So you got to think about that. Michael, thank you. Thank you, Vic. Thanks for hanging out tonight, guys. Remember, you can find me on Instagram at Pete McMurray. You can also find me on Twitter at Pete McMurray. I'd love a follow, and I'll follow you back. Have a great weekend. Nick is coming up next.